This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders.
Hello and welcome to the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, part of the SB Nation Podcast Network, and coming to you live on a Wednesday evening. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko. Joining me, this handsome devil over here, is the founder, fearless leader, the one to whom we all blame for being here, and that's John Dam Johnston. And below us, Nate McHugh. I know we promised you Haas Reuter, and Todd and John on their Monday night therapy session promised you Haas Reuter. Haas messaged us an hour ago and said, and I imagine it sounded like this, but I have the worst sinus infection. I've been laying in bed watching Better Call Saul since 3:30. So, no Haas. But that's okay.
He said he was on his deathbed.
I interpreted that to mean that Scott Frost and the Nebraska Huskers have taken the life, sucked some life from Haas Reuter. So we are excited that Nate is joining us. The chat is open. Welcome everybody, and let's go. John, you've had two nights now since your Monday night therapy session with Todd. You feeling any different? Feeling any better?
About.
I mean, we could really zoom in the microscope and talk Nebraska football, but I mean, let's go macro. Are you feeling better about life in general?
Oh, you know, it's great. Okay, I need to get going with this, don't I? You know what? I feel like I should be stopped being so negative all the time, right, Nate?
Yeah, I would say so.
So,
Nate, good to have you.
Nate, are you going to give us? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Nate, it's good to have you here with us. Looking forward to your thoughts on the Nebraska Northwestern cluster in Ireland. And for those of you, maybe the uninitiated, maybe you're just finding us on YouTube, maybe you only know about Coronation because there's a long-haired hippie of an old man who gets on there and does 5, 6, 7 minute videos complaining about sports, which, by the way, let's face it, that's a pretty first world problem. But we love him. We love that he does it. Maybe you're just familiar with us on YouTube. Check out CoronNation.com. We have a really brilliant team of writers covering obviously football, volleyball, men's and women's basketball, baseball, wrestling. We have some of the best writers, and you know, we're all underpaid. It's journalism now. So, but Nate's one of our tremendous writers, and Nate, we've had a few days to digest everything that's gone on. How do you feel?
I feel that last weekend, I wrote an article about it, okay? I published it on Friday because on Thursday night in our Slack chat room, you know, I threw out the statement that the Northwestern game was not a must-win game. And boy, was I in the minority. I mean, it was like, you know, people that don't talk very much in Slack, all of a sudden, boom, they're there, right? You know, it's like, and it's almost like everyone was like staring at Slack, and I type in, it's not a must win. And then all of a sudden it's everyone's like boom, 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 boom. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to write an article about it, in my opinion. And then I'm just going to publish it and not tell anyone about it until Friday. It ended up being Friday at, wasn't six, was it? 5 o'clock or something, you know? And because I knew, I'm like, oh, guys, I'm going to write an article about this because then someone else is going to have a retort or something, you know? But I still stand by as far as football goes. It was not a must win. The negativity around the game, I think, is probably earned by Scott Frost for sure. I'm not in the camp of, you know, of that. Yep, the decision's been made. He needs to be fired. Do I have a lot of ammo or a lot of facts on my side? No, you know, if he does get fired, then I'll move on. But the negativity, I mean, it's just constant. It feels like, and so I feel like I have to kind of balance that out. But in order to do that, you have to defend Frost, and that's quite a difficult thing to do, I would say, you know. So
Mike wants to join. Should we let him?
I don't see Mike? This.
Yeah.
You
guys keep talking. I'll go get him.
Well, I want to – so we're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all live, and we have a Sooner fan on YouTube says, what is the spirit of the Husker fan base if Nebraska drops just one of the next two games with OU coming? If Nebraska drops just one of the next two games – and it's North Dakota, not even North Dakota State, but North Dakota, and then it's Georgia Southern. Scott Frost, I don't think, makes it to the Oklahoma game.
Well, I think the buyout is kind of a big deal. It's, what, $15 million to $7.5 million by October 1st? I mean, I would love someone to write an article telling me what's the advantage of firing a coach after two games that you are getting compared to the advantage you would get if it was halfway through the season. You know, are you telling me Trev Alberts all of a sudden is like, oh crap, since Frost is still the head coach, I can't go send out a secondary party to go reach out to Matt Campbell or whoever, you know, I'm sure he can do that, you know? So that's kind of how it usually goes. You know, there's rumors about that there was, you know, that Trevor Alberts talked to somebody already, or last season did. And now there's rumors about Urban Meyer. And I'm just like, really? Not against or for?
So
it's like, is that where we're at? You know, but maybe it is. I don't know. We do suck. So,
Nate, you bring up a good point. Regardless of when the if a firing happens, it's going to – no new coach is coming in midseason. It would be an interim coach. So it doesn't matter if it's three games in, eight games in, et cetera. We welcome Husker Mike into the show. George on YouTube says had a really interesting question about the perhaps – at least in the state of Nebraska, the legality of Scott Frost's chew, asking if it has THC in it. What makes him blank at interviews and why does he do stupid stuff like the onside kick? We will definitely address more in depth the specifics of the game, but a very general question, and I had a chuckle after that. Wade, thank you for your comment. Husker Mike, you know, the second oldest coronation member, I believe, right? As far as longevity with the site, correct me if I'm wrong.
I think 2007, the last year of Billy C.
All right, so
yeah, it was.
So you, yeah. To quote whatever, you know, non-specific war movie, you have seen some shit, right? But you know, we start out. 0-1. Let's knock out the elephant in the room, because we got to move past that. We can talk about less specific things. Nebraska, Northwestern, from Dublin, Ireland. Beautiful stadium. Looks like it. You know, I know people who are fortunate enough to be on that trip, and I was jealous of every, you know, picture photo dump that they were dropping. But at the end of the day, it's another one score loss. It's two double digit leads that you piss away. And it's just so many inconceivable errors. It's not a new season. It's a continuation of the 2021 season. We're just finding new ways to lose. You know, last year it was punting to the wrong side of the field. Now it's an onside kick in the third quarter when you're up by 11. Like, it boggles the mind sometimes how inept, you know, certain aspects of the decision-making process are.
I don't think the onside kick was why Nebraska lost. I mean, everybody floats to that, but there were lots of other reasons that they lost. Couldn't block. I mean, look at that fourth quarter. They couldn't block, couldn't tackle that fourth quarter. So I think that was probably a bigger component from my perspective than, you know, the onside kick. I think the onside kick was a royal gamble, but I think they saw something in the formation. I certainly saw something when I saw the replay. I said I saw something in the formation there. They just didn't execute it properly. And the thing is that if it had been said succeeded, everybody would be talking about what an incredible call that was, going straight for the throat. So, you know.
There has to be a better way. That onside kick was telegraphed. You know, I feel like if it's not a situation where you have to recover the ball, I mean, where you have to, you know, it's you just scored, you're down by four, and you need the ball back because there's 2 minutes left in the game, then you have to, I don't know, like, isn't there a way, and I'm no special teams expert, I have never kicked a football in a live game situation, but you got to think that there's some way to just line drive that off of somebody's chest, right? Rather than a slow, I mean, that was a slow ground ball to second base, you know?
Yes, like that's to use a baseball analogy, Northwestern put on a infield shift. They had two people on the far side of the field. They had one person lined up almost midfield, and then another guy almost standing out of bounds on the other sideline. So you had 20, I'm not sure the field measurements, but you had a big hole there. And that's where they tried to kick it into. It just got a little, it didn't hit that empty spot quite right. You know, was it a risk worth taking? Probably not, but I can't believe that was Frost's idea right from the start. I think, you know, that was you hired a guy to make a change on special teams, make an impact. I think they had an idea that we're going to make an impact play on special teams there, and
John, let me.
Frost is taking the heat on it, but you know, he had a special teams coach who probably made the recommendation to do that. I mean, I can't imagine he would. I mean, we saw what the offense did. The offense looked very much like what a Mark Whipple offense probably would look like at Pitt. So why would you think that Frost is suddenly commandeering the special teams job when it was so bad last year? Brought Bill Bush in to take ownership of that and make it and fix it. So,
well let's sidestep away from special teams briefly. Josh on Facebook makes a good point, and it's something we've talked about for a couple of weeks. I know Haas used the phrase, John, with you a couple of weeks back about you know, a number like a big man the big man theory, right? Bill Parcells' big man theory. Josh says won't win anything until our OL, offensive line, can move people and our defensive line can stop the run for two downs and pressure a quarterback on third. Doesn't matter how many skills or how much talent we bring in. I feel like, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, this was a game that was won and lost in the trenches.
Nate?
That was my if I was depressed about anything, it wasn't the onside kick, even though I disagreed with the call. I'm usually the guy that, like, okay, you're the underdog. Let's say you score a touchdown to tie the game up. Let's say in the third quarter, I'm fine with that, whatever. Then that's the surprise onside kick maybe. But sorry, I'm a special team. Sorry, off the special teams. Is that walking away, we got dominated by Northwestern on both sides of the ball, on the offensive side and the defensive side of the line of scrimmage. And I thought, what's going to happen when we go against Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin? You know, that's generally my concern, you know, leaving that game, because you think that, you know, if there's scheme issues or if people are running the wrong way and, you know, whatever it is, not doing your job, like Caleb Tanner said, that those are fixable. Now, if we physically can't move somebody, then maybe that's not fixable, and that would make me very nervous going forward.
They finished out this game running the ball 18 times in a row, didn't they?
It's staggering.
Yeah.
For more than one possession.
You know, and the thing was, the Scott Frost, well, they did stuff we'd never seen before. They ran zone plays and counters. I mean, those are standard football. That's like running an ISO play. You'd learn those plays in high school, for God's sake. So they didn't do anything that was so, like, magic, you know. They didn't invent something new. I don't know. That part is – what is Minnesota going to do to us? And it's freaking Minnesota. You know what I mean?
That's the frustrating aspect, right? Is we were 8-point, 9-point favorites, something like that, in this
12.
Game. 12. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. And to lose by 3, I don't know. The whole matter is frustrating from the standpoint of we had, and I'll be the first to admit, I got a text message in the afternoon from a coworker who's like, hey, you know, don't worry. It's you know, a lot of season left. And I sent him a message back and I said, I'm not watching the game. I'm DVRing it. I'm out at a function. And his response was, you may not want to watch. I said, and I didn't know, honestly, I did not know at that point is he saying that because, you know, the worst really did happen, or is he saying that to screw with me, be like, you know, and then I watch it and then be like, oh, ha, 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 Sean, you know, not funny. New rule in the office is don't text Greg until Monday, because you just never know. But when I finally got home to watch it, I didn't start watching it until 8 o'clock at night. So I got to stay up late to watch the game the way it went down. And thanks to everybody on I live tweeted it to the best of that you can do, you know, 8 hours after the fact, over at on Twitter at the number 5 Heart Podcast. But you had momentum, right? We score. We, you know, a couple plays later, there was the beautiful hit, the fumble recovery, and then we score again, and we're up 11 points. And there's so much time left in the game, and because it was a grind in, you know, at the line of scrimmage, I don't know how you even make the judgment call that trying to keep the onside, and I'm not, like, I am not putting all of this on the onside kick. It was a horrible decision, and I hated it as soon as I saw it, not knowing the outcome. But I'm not pinning all of this on the onside kick. But you can't, Nebraska, with the exception of last year, Nebraska and Northwestern games are always dogfights, right? They're always, you know, down to the very bitter end. You can go back to, you know, Jordan Wester catch, you know, the Hail Mary. They're ugly games that are never – there's rarely, if ever, a put the boot to their throat moment and put them out of their misery. And I guess you can credit Scott Frost for trying to go for the jugular and that type of – I felt like it was too soon. Too soon in the game. You have to we saw it. There were times where their kicker was really good at flipping the field, and you have to try to pin them deep and let the defense do something. Instead, you give them the ball with a short field, and then poof, your 11-point lead goes away. So there's so many aspects like it, and you know, I don't know, maybe we can find some good things to talk about. I don't know. I want to complain about the fact that there was no lateral running game at all, you know. It seemed like everything was between the tackles, and I get that to a point. Gabe Urban Jr. said to another Nebraska media outlet, you know, from Ireland, he's like, "Yeah, we're going to run downhill." Then they tried; they did not succeed except for the one run. I mean, the running game was abysmal. Casey Thompson did the best he could, but I don't know if it was fatigue or what. At some point, his concentration and focus slipped, and it became a matter of desperation, and it showed in the last 12 minutes, 15 minutes of the game.
Okay, Nate and Mike, you guys in our Slack room where we have all the arguments that people don't see, you guys were the guys that said the season needs to play out. So why don't you take that argument and run with it? Yeah, Nate, go ahead. Sure. Nate, sure. You take that argument and run with it.
Okay, so, I mean, and everything I'm going to say, though, is it's a what-if stupid argument, right? It's a
– We're all speculative at this point.
Yes, I know we're 0-1, but guess what? If we win the next two and we somehow find a way against Oklahoma, then guess what? We're 3-1, and then you have Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue. Oh, we could beat those three, even though we just lost to Northwestern. So that'd be 6-1, and you just keep going down the road. You know, it's like we really have no idea what's going to happen. You know, and I kind of wonder if we could dive into the psychology of the Husker fan. If Frost doesn't do that onside kick and we still lose, do we hate ourselves as much as we do? I don't know. Is it just – the onside kick just seemed like it just took the wind out of the sails. Like, I don't know. I was kind of worrying that myself, because what if we do kick it deep and then they go 80 yards and score a touchdown, right? You know, which we'll never – obviously, that's another what if. But I go back. What?
Yeah, Nate, you raised a good question, though, is do we have more self-loathing when we – don't make stupid mistakes and still lose, or when we have, you know, horrible decision making and lose in you know, hilarious ways?
But the thing is, we keep on doing the stupid stuff, right? so it's kind of like, you know,
we don't know. And again, we don't know what that timeline looks like.
But like anything, I mean, could we beat Oklahoma? Absolutely. Can I give you five reasons why right now? Not really, you know? And so, you want Matt? We are going to beat Oklahoma, bro. So,
don't piss off the viewers. Jeez, man.
I know. I'm joking, man. We could start 2-2 and then what? Then we beat those three and then we're 5-2 and then, you know, we end up with 6 wins. And then I think that might be the worst thing you want is if we're 6-6. And then it's kind of a split, you know. I'd like it to be that the team either just gives up on Frost or we go and get 7-8 wins, you know, where it's kind of clear, right?
No, I think Matt has a good question that he asked a little bit ago. At what point do you think the nail's in the coffin for Frost? And look, at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to quote Herb Brooks here from Miracle, is the name on the front of the jersey means a hell of a lot more than the name on the back. in regards to players. And this was something that John and Todd mentioned Monday night in their Monday night therapy session. Check it out every Monday night at 7:30 Central on the various coordination platforms. The prevailing theory speculation from them continues to be if he loses five before he wins five, right? And then we're getting down to mid-November. If it's close, I don't know if what – riddle me this, Batman. How is a loss to North Dakota or Georgia Southern better in year five – better than a loss to Northern Illinois in Mike Riley's third year? I mean, and obviously Mike Riley did not get fired immediately from that, but I think everybody, Mike Riley included, knew it was coming, you know? I mean, so do you have a lame duck head coach, or do you remove him for a Whipple or, I don't think it'd be Mickey Joseph based on lack of head coach experience, but do you – put one of those guys in an interim position to as a regular season tryout. I don't know. I hope that, you know, last week on the show live right here on coronation.com in the Five Heart podcast, I said Nebraska is going to go 12-0. I said that we did the entire run, the entire season. It became a joke by the end. Todd, John, and Haas all laughing at me. I'd be perfectly happy if we went 11-1. You know, at that point, I won't be picky. I know you can think, stop rolling your eyes, Nate. I'm just saying, if something clicked, you know, just like that in the minds of these players and everything that they worked on in the offseason, in spring, in fall camp, everything just came together like magic, and they put together a hell of a run. Oh, you almost have to count that as the best turnaround in Nebraska football history, right? Going from essentially 3-10 from, you know, 2021 to now, to this day, to, you know, whatever the rest of the 2022 season. I don't care. I'm at the point, you know, 4 years ago, I was pretty hyped when Frost came on 4.5, whatever it was, at the end of the 2018 season, whatever it is. When he came on, I was pretty pumped up for it. At this point, I don't care who the coach is, as long as he's doing things, you know, the right way. You know, I just want the results.
Greg, you asked six questions.
Yeah. What? I just think people are fatigued by the losses. The close worked for a little while. You know, I mean, the running joke back when Bo was around, it was the four losses. It was the four losses that were blowouts. If we can handle losing as long as it's close. Well, 2021. And no, we, after a while, we don't want, you know, bottom line is we're tired of losing and we want to see some W's. And the next 2 weeks, our glorified exhibitions, they don't count. So we need to see W's against Big Ten competition, not named Rutgers.
So you don't think the next 2 weeks count?
Oh, they count. If you lose those games, then, well, you know, true. Then all hell breaks loose around here. But, you know,
next 2 weeks, I think
exhibitions.
I think they mean a lot more if they're losses than if they're wins. It's a lot
well,
more.
Well, yeah, if they're losses, yes. Wins of the next 2 weeks don't really mean anything. The wins, because you're beating teams that you better beat. You know, so, you know, all is not well if they go out there and win. You know, if they go out there and hang 77 on North Dakota, you know, nobody's going to be convinced on that. It, you know, this is like the old days of playing Mexico State in September. You know, the whole idea this week is get players in, get a little confidence in, get them some game experience, you know, and sell a bunch of hot dogs and parking passes. you know.
They're called Fairbury Franks.
Yes. Fairbury brand hot dogs.
I'm bringing Wade's comment up here. I know we've touched on this in the past when Dr. Offense took a swing at defense. But it's Eric Chenander's philosophy to do their best to keep the play in front of him, which is why, cornerbacks and whatnot play so far off the line. There's not a whole lot of bump and run and make them feel a little contact to possibly throw them off of their route. It's don't let them get behind you. And then, oh, shit, they got behind us.
So, Nate, I mean, what do you see for any kind of hope in the next? I mean, if the season has to play out, I think the problem we have is this. I think Scott Frost cooked his goose against Northwestern, and I've said that for months, that if he lost that game, it was going to be done. But we all know that he can't really be fired until October and the buyout goes. I guess for both of you guys, play out guys, I mean, what do we do till then? Because my problem is – my what's that? You have a wife?
I mean, are we throwing in – I can't believe that anybody's arguing that we're giving up on the season on August 31st. We're giving up on football season in August.
I think there are a lot of people that are. There are a lot of people that are.
I understand that. That's insane. Yes, I know they played a week.
Now tell me why. Tell me why it's insane. Why? Mike. Yeah.
Because this is Nebraska. This is what we do. We watch Husker football. Yeah, I know they had a bad game last week. People bought, 80,000 people have bought tickets to these games. If, we get into November and they're at 3-4 or, 3-6, okay, we'll go play with all the noise. You know, Trev Alberts is always going to be, is playing ahead. He's got in his mind what his action plan is, and he doesn't have specific criteria, I don't think, but he knows, the guy knows football. And he knows what's working and it's not working. And I believe wholeheartedly that he has in his mind what his plan B is if this doesn't work. Because how we evaluate about whether you let Frost come back for another year. So, okay, I'm going to roll the dice, give the Native Son another chance. The buyout doesn't drop until October. And frankly, there's nothing to be gained by firing him on October 2nd and installing an interim coach. Because does anybody want to see Mark Whipple as the head coach of Nebraska next year?
I just want the record to show that my arm is up for a different reason, not to answer the question.
Okay.
I was just wondering whose neighborhood the ice cream man was driving around at 9 o'clock at night. Nobody else heard that music. Nobody else heard that music. Just me. Okay.
Just you. Better go out and go get some ice cream.
Between the kids being home and hosting, everything in our house gets used up in summer. With Instacart, I can save money by stocking up on all my favorite summer brands. I save time by getting everything delivered in as fast as an hour. And I save myself a sink full of dirty dishes by stocking up on paper plates for the annual summer cookout. Save more on summer essentials? Spend more time enjoying summer. Add summer to cart. Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor. Paycor empowers leaders to build winning teams. With Paycor, leaders can recruit, onboard and train employees, set goals, and drive performance. If you're a leader, everyone depends on you. Who do leaders depend on? Paycor. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders.
Bottom line is that if Frost isn't the guy, they're going to go out there and find a guy out there. Nebraska football should be a starter job. Mark Whipple's not the next head coach in Nebraska. Eric Sanders, not the next head coach in Nebraska. Mickey Frost is not the next head coach in Nebraska. They're going to go after another proven coach. We thought Frost might have been proven. Okay. Maybe it's Matt Campbell from Iowa State. I don't know. But the next head coach, if there's going to be a coaching change, we're not auditioning anybody. They're not coming in October or November to finish out this season. It's not – so there's no point in jettisoning Frost – in early October. In fact, somebody brought up, Trev Albers coming out and making comments about USC hitting the eject button on Clay Helton last year and thought that was crazy. That's not Trev's style. Doesn't mean Trev won't be kicking the tires behind the scenes on option B and option C as the season gets, because, Bill Moose proved that you can – in 2017, you can be interviewing and hiring your next head coach before you fired the previous guy. And nobody's going to be shocked if we're having another sub-500 season that Frost is going to be retained. Nobody should be deluded that Frost is going to be retained if there's that type of record. So, but let's let the season play out. I mean, they're 0-1, but it's still one game.
I would say John's question was about, the statement was people have given up on the season. And I want to say, sure, go ahead. But if we win games and they're going to be like, oh, no, not coming back. I gave up. I know we're 5-2, but guess what, guys? After Northwestern, I said I was done. I can't come back. I don't think that's how it would go. Just play the games. We'll see what happens. I don't know. It's just kind of a – if they keep on losing, then, yeah, people are – that's what's going to happen. And they fire Frost.
Okay.
They fire him. And,
I'm going to show you a something that Trev Alberts said, Mike. That's why you fire your coach.
For the benefit of those who are listening to this, Trev Albers says, quote, we've got work to do, end quote, on selling out the conference portion of the football schedule.
Now, here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, you already mentioned that people are tired of losses. This is my problem exactly with keeping Scott Frost around, is that there's no hope to this. And people are going to lose hope in it because I think they've really given up on him. I think that's unfortunate, but I do think the sellout streak is important, more important than it's been in a while, and not just for marketing purposes, but to keep intact Nebraska's brand. But I want your reaction to that.
It's important, but let's remember why those conference games are the ones that aren't sold out. It's because those are the tickets that went to Bucky Badger and the Indiana people who get offended super easy. And, those tickets went to the visiting teams who they didn't want to buy them because they don't support their team. So they come back.
But that's not the case. That has not been the case before. Why is it the case now?
The case is there is something to be said that demand is down. Nebraska had to mark down the tickets for North Dakota to $30. If this continues, they will probably have to do some gimmicks to get the tickets sold. We're still going to – even the thing is that let's not forget that the stadium holds 85,000 people for ticket sales.
All right.
We've got 3,000 unsold. Most of those were the allotment that went to Madison and whatever else. They turned them back in. There's still 75, 80,000 tickets that were sold in the state of Nebraska.
What the hell is Todd doing commenting? He should be here if he's going to do this shit. Todd Wilmerton says for all the home big games, they have at least 2,500 tickets to sell and over 4,000 for one of the games. These do not include tickets that come back. See, that's what I'm worried about. I wish Scott Frost was successful. I wish I saw something where we turned our season around and won games, because losing sucks. It's old.
Yeah.
And it wears you out.
Like, I know. It wears us out. You know. But we've got to, I mean, the thing is that this is the coaching staff we're going to have this season. And we'll see if they need to be jettisoned as we get toward late in the season. But here's a comment right here. People are giving up because we look ill-prepared and weak when we were just told players. But it was one game. One game, in fact, multiplied on last season. There's a hangover effect there. But you say ill-prepared or whatever else. They did put up 28 points. They put up almost 500 yards of offense. So there is something to be said that it wasn't all – this wasn't getting stomped 62-3. Yeah, we're all disappointed. We all wish they'd played better, but I just don't understand how you could just basically say, oh, season's over.
Simple Jack with perhaps the comment of the night. Oklahoma doesn't have Bosworth anymore. They're about to get a Nebraska country ass whooping. Simple Jack, don't you ever change. By God. Wow. That is. I mean, you all thought I was drinking the Kool-Aid last week. That's some Kool-Aid. It's a moonshine, I think. I don't know. All right. David, we're working. I don't know exactly what audio issues you're experiencing, David. We'll continue to work on it. That's a Greg Mahoshko guarantee. As good as a $2
bill. This is a guy I grew up with that's in Tide.
Well, then I probably blame
Jonathan. Jonathan Simino says seven losses in a row, boy, 7-7. It is hard to take. Okay. I think the audio issues are all of us getting frustrated and banging on our desks while we're talking, probably.
I do appreciate Haywood their eternal optimism, drinking the Kool-Aid again, as I do every year. I always get to that point where by early August, late July, early August, I'm like, all right. This is, especially in recent memory, this is going to be the year where it all clicks. And then we lose by 3 points to Northwestern. And all the joy leaves my body. I couldn't go to bed right after that game. It was 11:30 when that game. I could not. I mean, I don't know. It's a letter, Kenny. I'm a fan of the show Letterkenny. I'm sorry. Dude with your hat. Sorry. I couldn't go to bed right after that game. I was too distraught. I stayed up and watched mind-numbing sitcoms for an hour. That's just how I coped.
Nate, go ahead.
I think you should be more positive if that's what we want, right? That's John asked that about 30 minutes ago about reasons to be positive, I guess, you know. We got a pretty good punter, John. Did you see? Averaged almost 50 yards a punt. We didn't miss a single extra point. Did you see that, John?
We didn't have any penalties.
Look at that. I mean, are you kidding me? You had told me a Scott Frost coach team. I mean, just think about all the all starts against Oklahoma last year, you know. And anyway, so it's like there are positives, but it's so overwhelmed. It's so we forget about all of them because of a stupid onside kick, right? I mean, I truly think that. And I can be, it's just, and for me, the defense looks so bad. And, but I love the quote from Caleb Tanner this week. He said, I'm paraphrasing, no, we weren't physically tired. No, we weren't mentally tired. We were tired of people not doing their jobs. And so if you want any hope, I guess, it's the fact that if it's just – it's not physical, and then if it's people messing up their assignments, then that's fixable, right? I'm not saying it's going to happen. Again, I feel like I'm having to defend Frost, but it's like if you ask for positives, I mean, Buscemi or whatever, almost 50 yards a punt, I mean, that's an improvement, right? So that's – oh, it's really hard to talk and then look at the comments. This is the first time I've done this.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is something to get used to.
I have something I think is reason to feel some optimism. There was a time on Saturday where the lineup was a sophomore who only played four games, one coming off of an ACL tear at left tackle, sophomore at left guard, redshirt freshman at left guard, and a sophomore at right tackle. Okay, we had a senior center that, you know, but those are four young offensive linemen, not a lot of experience out there. And frankly, that sophomore right tackle was one of the worst rated guys in all of college football last year, according to Pro Football Focus. He was the highest rated offensive lineman last week. So it's like, okay.
Bryce Benhart,
one of the worst last year. The other one, Turner Corcoran, they moved him inside the guard. He's learning a new position. It's like, okay. But he's, you know, highly regarded, whatever else. Again, one game in, Teddy Peraska looked really good last year in a couple of games before he blew out his ACL. Again, ACLs take some time to heal up. I have high confidence on that he can get back to that level. I think that's something, you know, this is a young offensive line we have here. And everybody worries about, what's going to happen when we play against Minnesota. Minnesota has to pretty much replace their entire offensive line. And, oh, by the way, Minnesota – in 2019, they were losing to South Dakota State. They needed to convert a fourth and a half mile in the last minute to beat Fresno. Then they were struggling against Georgia Southern as well. They had to pull some magic out of their hat then. They could have easily started that season 0-3. You know how they ended up that season? They blasted us in Minneapolis and went on and played in a nice bowl game in Tampa, and everybody was rowing that boat. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen in Lincoln. It probably isn't going to happen, but it wasn't. We got to let the season play out a little longer than one game.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, for me, it's going to be hard. You've said in Slack to stop being so negative, and I guess I agree with that mostly because I don't want to spend the next month going over the same shit over and over and over.
Because going after this, you know, for 3 months, if we don't start winning, you know, and there'll be plenty of time to talk about who the next coach is and when do we fire Frost in November, and maybe, you know, if we get to that point, but let's not bury the season before it's dead.
Let's turn the page. Let's move on to the game this Saturday against North Dakota. And we have a depth chart that came out. Some good news, I think. Travis Vokolek is listed as the starting tight end, which couldn't come at a better time because when he was not in the game, it was bad news Jones. Ben Hart, Bando, Hixon, Corcoran, Prochaska, all the expected, you know, the all those guys expect back. Trey Palmer, Alante Brown, Anthony Grant at running back. We didn't even talk really necessarily scratching the surface, but I – and next week
– Nate, you just have to jump in. You have to – yourself.
I was looking at a different screen. Nate, I'm sorry. Did I – where was any lateral run game? I know I mentioned it at the top of the show, but why are we not – we've got Grant came in. I mean, we've got some highly touted, you know, speedy guys. I liked what I saw from Grant, but you got to be able to get outside of you know, running between the tackles. Any thoughts – when Haas comes back next week, I know we'll have some empirical evidence and everything else, but just curious as to your guys' take, why were we so conservative in the play call? I know, and Scrawny, I appreciate we had a reverse. I don't know if I call it fancy, but it was there. But it seemed like we were on the offensive side. Let's move away from the onside kick. But we're pretty conservative in our run game, Nate.
I think it probably goes back to Whipple's comment on, which is kind of you know, ironic in a way, when he said those first games, you don't usually, he said, usually lose those games, you don't win them, and what he's saying is usually it's the team that makes the mistake is the one that loses those first games, right? So what's the mistake? It's the onside kick probably, or the fumble by that transfer from New Mexico State. Anyways, among, you know, all the missed tackles and all that, but I think he was trying to be so conservative that maybe that was it. I'm not sure why, you know, we continue just the inside zone, inside zone, inside zone. I'm not sure. I don't know. That'd be a great question for you. Should have Whipple on here. Maybe he'll answer. I don't know.
Well, Frost had talked about having more of a downhill running attack, and I think maybe they tried to see, okay, let's try it and let's do it. You know, we saw some good, you know, when they did go out, I saw a great run by AJ Allen, but you know,
he played well. He played well for a guy that'd never been in a game before.
Yep. So,
you know who played
but
well?
But I was surprised that he got. Go ahead.
I was going to say Brody Belt.
Oh, my God. You know, I've seen a lot of comments online about why. Who was it? Lure dropped the pass at the end that got intercepted?
Yes.
Why was he Brody in the game Belt late when they had – and why was Brody Belt in the game, although I think Brody Belt actually played pretty well? Wyatt Lure was the one that had the interception bounce up off his hands. And then there's one other guy I'm trying to think of, and people are asking – because I go around and look at social media comments, and I do look at bulletin boards, and a lot of people were asking why those guys were in the game and getting balls thrown to them when you had Trey Palmer and Garcia Castaneda out there and stuff like that. I guess I don't really have an answer to that.
Well, Wyatt Lure was in, I think, the first play of the game too. I think on that
was he?
Bubble screen. Yeah. No, is it weird? Isn't it? It's like been like that forever, where it's like all of a sudden we get to crunch time, and all of a sudden we have these wide receivers in we haven't seen all game. It hasn't, it, you know, this isn't the first time, right? And we have a new wide receivers coach, so it's like, you know, I don't know. It's, I do find that interesting. Okay. You know, on the interception when on that pass to Oliver Martin, did he like pull his hands down? Is that what I mean? You guys know what I'm talking about? That it looked like if you looked at
I thought it was behind him. I thought it was high and behind him.
What's that? Okay. Anyways, Yeah, I don't think you saw him after that, if I remember correctly. Except for catching, he's a safe punt guy. We know that, right? Or he'll catch it inside the 10 or whatever. So.
And no Omar Manning that I could recall.
But he
had a concussion or something.
Yeah.
You know, early on in the game, I made a tweet that it was against the law, European Union laws, to return a punt. And honest to God, Northwestern fair caught all their punts too. So after a while, it was kind of like, shit, maybe it is against EU law to return a punt. I don't know, you know.
Did they say?
We didn't do that all day.
Didn't they say that? I know they said that the Irish national football, you know, soccer team plays in the stadium. But didn't they also say rugby? I feel like if you're a native Irish son or daughter and you're watching American football, you're like, I don't get it. Our lads are out there without any pads on, running into each other full steam. But I don't understand rugby enough to, you know, really pull off the rest of that story. So. Do we want to, as far as getting to North Dakota, I mean, are we ready to do predictions, to talk about that, or is there anything else to, I like somebody in the comments, I'm gonna see if I can't find it. I think it was Wade said something about just all the BS we've been dealing with. Here we go. It's not just the losses, But the smug ass look on Fitzpatrick's face, the kiss blowing from a kicker at Iowa, things like that. Yeah, it's you know, it's salt on the wound. The only thing I can say is you win the game and you don't have to worry about things like that, you know. And what sucks is that if a fan base could win a game, Nebraska would be undefeated. But we can only watch, you know.
I have a question for Nate. Do your kids have an Aurora skylight?
I'm guessing the answer is no, because I don't know what that is. But an Aurora skylight?
Yeah.
Like, so I can sit here and look at the stars in my house?
Yeah.
Okay. No, they don't have that.
They don't have that?
No, we just walk outside.
I'm trying to, you guys have said you need to be more positive, and I am going to try like hell to come up with ways to be more positive, man.
You know what's a good start?
I'm looking at Aurora skylights on Amazon right now, thinking, which one of these things is better? They're about $35-40. I'm thinking this will make me feel better about football season. And keep talking amongst yourselves for a moment.
Okay. When I would start, you know what I did after the game? I deleted Twitter off my phone. I didn't look at it for the whole rest of the weekend, and I haven't put it back on my phone yet. And that's probably helped me with my positivity. You know, earlier there's a comment about the onside kick, so we should do an onside kick, whatever, right? So, and then Greg said something about how we kicked it. It was kind of a little dribbler towards the guy, right, instead of kicking it right at him, like – hitting him in the chest. Is that right, Greg? Or you're doing something? Okay. Well, I did kick in high school. Okay. And I was not very good. And I'll tell you why. But generally, you kind of dribble it at them. And you kind of hope that they'll catch on the bounce and they'll pop up. That's kind of what you want, you know. So I'm not defending the onside kick. But as far as how bad I was a freshman, and I was kicking in high school varsity game, and the first three games we're just kicking off, right? And I would just shank it so bad it would look like an onside kick, and we would recover it. So the crowd would be cheering and all that, and I'd go to the side knowing I'm about ready to get my ass ripped, you know. But we recovered all three, and then the rest of the season, every game after that, all the players are always – the other team, they're all saying, watch out for the onside kick. And I knew the whole time, like, nope, that wasn't on purpose. So as far as being able to kick an onside kick, you know, I'm probably not the one to give advice. So,
well, let's let's move on to predictions for this week. And we had one of our viewers from last week. I believe it was Mike. Sorry, Mike, if I didn't scroll up in time to. Yeah, Mike was here. He'd asked if our predictions had changed. Obviously, my prediction is wrong from last year or last week on the season. But let's get to our prediction for Nebraska versus North Dakota this Saturday, Memorial Stadium. And Nate, let's start with you.
My prediction, I think we win by 20, something like that. I don't know. Do I need to give an actual number?
Yeah, 10-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
75-65. No.
While you get that number out, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but, hey, if you're watching this on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever, throw your predictions into the comments as well. Nate?
I think the betting line was I guess somebody asked me yesterday. I'm like, I was probably on 20, and so I'll go with that. So I'll say, I don't know, 20 to 40, something like that. I don't know.
Jeff says 56-13 Huskers.
You're on the four door.
John, what are you thinking?
It's an odd one.
Oh, man. You know what? This should be an ass kick, and I think the line is 20 to 22, something like that. I mean, we should just beat the shit out of them, but I don't. Again, I just don't have a lot of faith in, you know, I have a lot of faith in us staying positive with each other. That's what I hope we do this season. I don't even know if that means Nebraska football, but that's a different thing. I've been thinking about doing a video on that, on what we're going to do for the rest of the football season. But Nebraska over North Dakota, let's go. I think it's going to be closer. I'm going to say 35 to 24. Isn't that the same score? What did Todd predict for every freaking game last year? Wasn't it 36 to 24?
I think he said 69 to 3. Oh, no, that's
Todd?
A different podcast. That's a different podcast. Yeah.
So 36 to 24.
I hope, and this is all it is at this point, speculation. I don't know who did that. I hope that Nebraska comes out and plays with the biggest chip on their shoulder, and I hope they come out playing angry. I'm gonna say that it is my hope. It is my sincere hope that this is an absolute bloodbath on Saturday, and I'm gonna say 69-3 would be a little derivative, but I'll go 56-17. Oh, Fred. God bless you, Fred. Fred and I were close. I was giving North Dakota a little more, but we were both right on the money with 56 points. I like you, Fred. Thank you. Here we got the Sooner fan. I think 77 points was a joke. Our Sooner fan here says 38-27 Nebraska. We have 38-28 Nebraska, 75-0 Nebraska. Again, I like 56-17. Don't ask me why, but at the end of the day, I'll be happy with the Nebraska W.
We're playing a program at a Grand Forks, whose stadium seats 12,282 people. All right? They have 11 starters returning. Oh, they have 14 starters returning. And I guess, you know, if we're going to see anything out of our defense, it's going to be, I'm guessing North Dakota's just going to run the ball right at us for the entire game. And if we see a defense that reminds us of a sieve, then I think it's going to bode poorly for the rest of the season. So, which brings me to one other thing I was going to have to bring in this season to keep things positive, and that is hand puppets.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know how to do this, but I'm Nate is not impressed. Nate wants to go die now.
I figure I figure you operate that the same way you operate Todd.
Oh, well, you know, I already did the first video of the season from the bathroom, so everything is up from here.
It has to be up. It can't get any worse, right? Mike, you're going to have to go back and watch the replay, sir. We discussed the sellout streak a little bit already. And we know that – I don't want to say – look, I think we all can agree that probably some corporation would come in and scoop up all the available tickets just to preserve it. I think at this point the sellout streak is only that on paper. But, you know, as long as the camera continues to, you know, put the spotlight on that continuing counter for home sellout games, then it's getting attention into the televised space. I just don't see it going anywhere. You know, again, whatever corporation out there will, you know, be a Woodhouse. Somebody's going to take a lot of their employees to a football game. So
it'll be Husker Auto, I promise.
Husker Auto, not Woodhouse. I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Bill. How many tickets can they buy, Nate?
How many do they want to?
I mean, how many tickets?
You know, that's live on the internet, right?
We always say this about the people that are buying up the tickets. I mean, how long can they keep doing this?
Until we get Matt Campbell in here. I don't know. I have no idea. We always say it's him as if he's the savior, and we thought Frost was the savior. I mean, so.
I only know of one savior. But that's all the time we have for this week on the Five Heart Podcast. For our esteemed guest and colleague from Coronation, Nate McHugh. For our founder and fearless leader, John Dam Johnston. I'm Greg Mahochko. Hat and all, saying Five Heart is all the heart you need. John.
Go Big Red.
Nate.
Go Big Red, I guess. Sure.
Win the damn game.
Oh, win the damn game. Sorry, I'm a little rusty.